Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Sunday, it's Halloween Eve. So happy Halloween Eve, everybody.
Pookie's freaking out over the fan.
She does not like that fan.
Look.
We turn the fan on and she's like...
She's looking at...
She's like, what?
Yeah, what? You want to go up here and see it? She wants to go up and visit the fan. No, we're not. You're not going to visit the fan.
What?
No.
Maybe... Really? What?
I can't do anything about it. It's a fan. It does that. She's looking at it. Yeah, it does that. It's a fan.
Aww.
We got to do the show, okay? You can't be center of attention all the time.
Okay.
She's always the center of attention.
Fucking funny, man.
Maybe that night we did the show and we thought that she was seeing demons. Maybe it was just the fan that she didn't like.
It's moving.
Yeah. She's crying about it.
Because the fan is spinning and it's wobbling a little bit. It's gonna be okay, don't worry about it, it's not gonna fall. Oh no. It's ridiculous.
She doesn't like it. She doesn't like it, not one.
Stop
bit.
That thing. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
It's gonna be okay.
She's wigging out.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Well, sometimes we turn it on and she doesn't react like that.
It's paranormal, Pookie.
It's paranormal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, it's Halloween Eve, and you know, periodically you'll hear a little crying back there. And you can see her
it's
on camera
live.
Now
it's
too.
It's all live.
You can see her.
See her walking around there yelling. I know. This shit's amazing.
Daddy, turn it off.
Yeah, the tail's wagging. Get rid of that shit. It's gonna be okay.
She's like, don't blow me off. I don't like it. All right, so anyway, so it's Halloween Eve, so I think we had to watch a movie Friday night, like right after the Sidetrack show, and so, you know, we were a little bit inebriated, and I was like, well, I don't want to, and I was tired, so I was like, well, I don't want to watch anything too complicated. So I was like, oh, I remembered that this movie was free to watch, and also I've seen it a bunch of times, so it was like, you know, easier, and also it's Halloween themed, because it's actually like set around Halloween, and there is like a Halloween dance at the end of it, so I figured we'll kind of like talk about this one briefly before talking about some other stuff. Although it seems that Pookie just wants to.
She's trying to come up.
What, you coming up?
Never seen her do this. Well, actually, she did.
No,
this last
she did
time.
It. That she did it on that one show.
Yeah.
And I think it was, but like I said, sometimes we turn the fan on and it doesn't seem to bother her.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you turn it on and she like starts freaking out. She's like, I don't like it, turn it off. So I don't know if sometimes, oh shit, that was almost a disaster waiting to happen. But yeah, so this is a movie that came out back in 1985. I think I probably saw this movie a million times, like on cable, just because it seemed like it was always on. And this was a movie that, in case you didn't know, this was, I think, Jim Carrey's first movie role. Or I don't know if it was, like, his first movie role, but his first, like, main, like, lead role. Because I think this was even before, this was definitely before, because he was on In Living Color, right, that TV series. I'm pretty sure it was before that. I think he was only, like, in his 20s. Even though he's playing a high school student, I think he was only 23 or something like that. So this was, like, the first movie that he was in. And for some reason, like, I don't know. There's, like, some...
No.
Stop it, Pope.
Don't tear up the books.
Oh, my God. She's just, like, being a real brat today.
Yeah. Is it okay if she tears that up?
Well, that's... I've told you before. That's why I put the shit
that's
on the bottom.
That's why that was there? Okay.
I put the old books on the bottom because
Man,
she, like...
Why are you acting this way?
Yeah. She's being a real she's being a real brat.
Yeah.
And like I was before the show I was brushing her and she tried to grab the brush and ended up grabbing my finger instead, so she got my finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louis said seen this one a couple times. Yeah, it's kinda like I don't know if I'd call it it's more like a comedy but with horror elements. It's kinda like a teen sex comedy really, but with a vampire. So basically what happens in this one, it's kinda like one of those you know, a lot of those movies in the 80s where, like, the whole, like, plot was, it centered around somebody trying to lose their virginity, which I feel like was probably most of the comedies from the 80s. This is one of those. But like I said, it's with a vampire. Lauren Hutton actually plays the vampire, and I actually really, really like her in this. And for whatever reason, a lot of lines from this movie, like, stuck with me. And also, like, the fucking songs are total earworms. I just watched the movie on Friday night, and I've had the two, the main theme song and the one they do, like, during the dance-off. I've had those two songs, like, stuck in my head ever since then. Slasher Fred said this movie is an underrated classic. There is... The you know what? To, for some reason, like, the funniest line to me that has stuck with me for all of these years, because I saw this movie a bunch of times, like, back in the late 80s, but I haven't seen it, like, for many, many years, probably since then. But for whatever reason, like, a line that always stuck with me was when, after, like, Jim Carrey first goes to the vampire's house and, like, he doesn't remember anything that happened, but then, like, the next day, he said, he's telling Lorden Hutton that he had a dream, and he's like... he's like, you know those little foil pouches that you put a straw in there and there's, like, fruit juice? Like a Capri Sun, but I guess he couldn't say that. And she's like, uh-huh. And he's like, last night I dreamed I was one of those. Because she was like, and for whatever reason, that, like, line just made me laugh. And it's like, I still remember it, like, to this day. I kind of feel like, I don't know. Like, you didn't like this movie.
No, I didn't like this movie.
You didn't like this movie. No. Now, had you seen this back in the 80s?
I don't think so.
This is one of the 80s-est 80s movies, and I had forgotten how 80s it was. Because, like I said, the last time I saw it was probably in the late 80s or the early 90s. And I hadn't seen it again since then. And I was like, holy shit, this is, like, one of the most 80s movies. I mean, everything is, like, the shit they were wearing, the fucking boutique that Jim Carrey's girlfriend Robin works at. I was like, oh my god, I remember mall stores. It looked exactly like that. All the clothes, like, the music, the fucking layout of Lauren Hutton's mansion. It was just, oh my god, it was, like, so fucking 80s. And then there was, like, the requisite scene of... You know, it's all those movies, like, in the 80s that were set in California, and it was always kind of, like, the suburban kids, like, and they just, ooh, we're going down to Hollywood, that's the crazy place. And so they would kind of, like, drive around, and it was like, oh, there's a lady with, like, a silver dress on, like, walking a lion, and, like, all this other kind of crazy shit, and, like, all the fucking neon and whatever. And then they go to that fucking, then they go to that, like, that hookup bar that's all, like, phone-themed, like, you can call... the other tables, like, all the tables have numbers on them, and it's like, if you see somebody across the thing that looks good, you call their table, their
boy,
table
that's
number.
A recipe for dessert.
Right, and those, well, yeah, and it's like, and all the phones are, like, shaped like lips, and I was like, oh my god, this is the most, and then, like, some of the decor was, like, big giant phones, like, with buttons on it and stuff, and I was, like, sitting there going, holy shit, was this a real place, or?
Probably not.
I think not. That might, yeah. Well, I don't know. I was, because I was thinking that to myself while I was watching it, because I had forgotten, like I said, just how, like, over the top 80s this was. And I had forgotten about that bar. And I was just kind of like, I imagine that was probably made for the movie, but I could see a place like that existing back in the 80s. I mean, it seemed very much like that. Oh my god. She's so distracting.
She's doing it on purpose. She wants attention.
Yeah. Yeah, she's mad because we're not paying attention to her.
Look. Come here. There you go.
Yeah, Louis said, isn't Jim Carrey the last virgin in town? Yeah, that's kind of like the running gag, is that Lauren Hutton, who plays a 400-year-old vampire, her thing is that every so often she has to feed from a male virgin, and it's a, like, a whole thing. Like, she has to do it, like, three times or whatever. And she always has to take the blood from the inner thigh too.
She's wrestling.
Yeah.
Why are you wrestling?
She's like, 'cause I'm bad. That's why I'm bad. She's bad. Uh-oh, daddy's biting you. But yeah, so she has to do that. And the running joke is that I don't know if, like, she's lived in LA for a long time or she just moved there or something like that. But that's kind of like the joke, is that, you know, there's no virgins anymore, like, they can't find one. Which is weird, because even when I was a kid, when I saw this movie, like, his two dorky friends, I'm like, those two guys are clearly virgins, too. Like, why, like, why did she just hone in on Mark, which is Jim Carrey's character name? But, I mean, the other two, I guess, were dorkier looking. And then maybe, I don't know. But the thing about it is, like, and I had forgotten that Cleavon Little was in this, too. Like, he plays her servant, I guess. And he's, there's, like, a running gag, too, that it's, that he's, like, gay. So there's a bunch of jokes that he's always, like, in her closets and, like, stealing her clothes and like she's always like knocking. His name is Sebastian, and then she's always like knocking on the closet door, and then like he opens the door and like has her scarf on or something, and then like he makes jokes about I came out of the closet like 200 years ago and all this other kind of stuff. So there's like a lot of gay humor in this, which probably, I mean, it seems kind of like, I don't know, it seems like ever so slightly homophobic. Because, and especially too, and I know that was kind of like a thing in the 80s, like everybody was kind of like, you know, it was just kind of a joke. They even have a thing where, like in the weird phone bar, there's, you know, one of the dorky kids like gets called and goes over there and like he thinks it's this hot woman and then it's a dude. So, you know, that's kind of like a classic kind of 80s joke from this kind of movie. And then I had actually forgotten about this scene too. And I was like a little bit surprised. But there's a scene where, like I said, the vampire has to suck the blood out of the inner thigh. And rather than doing the normal thing, like a girlfriend would, and saying, hey, can I see your inner thigh? Like, I think something might be the matter with you or something. She tells his two stupid friends, they're like, well, she's like, well, why don't you try to look at his inner thigh, like, while you're in the locker room or whatever, and, like, see if he has bite marks there, like, to make sure that it's a vampire that we're dealing with or whatever. So there's kind of, like, this long extended sequence where they're trying, like, to maneuver around and, like, look at his crotch, like, without him knowing about it. And then finally they get so sick of, like, trying to do it that one of them just grabs him, like, in the shower. And then he's just kind of like, look at his crotch, look at his crotch. And the other guy's looking, and he can't see because he has soap in his eyes. And then, like, one of the other guys is just like, fags in the shower, fags in the shower. And then I was just like, holy crap. And then, like, the next scene is, like, the two guys talking about how humiliating it is. It's like, everyone thinks we're gay. And then he said something about reenacting a prison rape scene. And I was like, whoa. I didn't remember that going there. But, yeah, so yeah, it's funny.
The movie, just from the very beginning, is over the top silly.
It is very silly. Like I said,
I just couldn't handle it. I was just like,
I said, it's not really. It has like a vampire in it.
Yeah,
but
it's not a vampire movie.
It's not a vampire movie, really. I mean, it is because it kind of like plays with those tropes, but it's more kind of along the lines of like Love at First Bite or Dracula Dead and Loving It or something like that. You know what I mean?
And it's actually just more in common with a bunch of teen comedies and stuff.
Yeah, it's a teen sex comedy.
Yeah, it's
but with a vampire, like with that angle.
Right.
To it, which, you know, it was like a, and also I thought this was interesting too, and I don't know if they were homaging this specifically. I think they probably were, but like I said, there's a part at the end, like near the end, where they do there's a Halloween dance at the school, and they all go, and there's like a dance off between you know, Jim Carrey's girlfriend Robin and the vampire Lauren Hutton, and they're trying to like and it's like this whole choreographed dance. I mean, it's like really, really funny. And it's like has this really earworm of a song. But it reminded me of that scene in Grease. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where Cha-Cha comes in and is like trying to dance like Danny away from Sandy. So I'm wondering if that was like what they were homaging in this.
Here's the thing. This is the way I always saw these kind of movies retroactively. Like once they aged and you look back at them, and you see how much they had in common with old school variety shows, like Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to show you a bunch of comedy situations over, you know what I mean, in some kind of a sequence. And they're using kind of a storyline to thread them together. But it's kind of like the comedy skits really were written first, and then the story was written afterwards. So it was kind of like, it kind of ends up being like a variety show.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what Cannonball Run was and shit like that. It was a variety show, you know, and fucking, well, yeah, Cannonball Run was like that. Smoking the Bandit was kind of like that.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of bits.
It's a bunch of bits.
Like,
strung together
with a story.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a lot of comedies are, maybe not so much nowadays, I kind of feel like they're different now, but.
And internet killed that, all right?
Yeah.
So these don't exist anymore. And probably will never really come back. The closest thing I've ever seen to something like this in the modern world are these chick flicks. You know, like fucking the girl that fucking she thought what was the one that I actually liked it? Fat girl fucking thought she was in a rom-com.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was the name of that?
It was actually a pretty good one.
I liked that one, actually. Yeah. Well, I liked that one because I don't usually like chick flicks, but I liked that one because it was sort of making fun of chick flicks, but also kind of was a chick flick at the same time. And so I thought it was kind of cute that they were, like, playing with all the tropes and everything.
Yeah, and it was, like, kind of male-friendly.
Yeah, because it was self-aware.
It was kind of, like, goofing on chick flicks.
Right.
So you're like, oh, yeah. It was goofing on female fantasy.
Right.
You know.
That's why I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was good. I just don't remember the name of that.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Had that fat,
we reviewed it.
Had that heavyweight, that heavy girl. She's cute, but she's fat. And she's a comedian.
Yeah.
And she was the... She woke up and she thought she was in a rom-com.
Yeah,
everything was just like super perfect.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I liked that one because, like I said, if you think about romantic comedies, and this movie is kind of has that as well, particularly like from the 80s and stuff. I haven't seen any like real recent ones, so I'm not really sure if they're still like this. But a lot
Amy
of
Schumer was it Amy Schumer? No,
no, no, no. Shit, no, it wasn't Amy Schumer. What the fuck is her name? It's not it's not Rebel Wilson, is it?
Might have been, huh? No.
Was it Rebel Wilson? Like,
yeah, I think it might have been Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. Hard to say. What the fuck was the name of that movie? God damn
it. Just another romantic comedy?
No, it was...
What was it called?
Shit. I can see the title screen. I'm just like, I can't like think of the fucking name. I can't think of the fucking name.
It was... That was one of the better movies of that year.
It was, actually. Like I said, I was surprised by like how much I liked it. Because it was like really funny. But the thing about it, like I said, well, when you think about it, a lot of rom-coms, this is probably the reason why I didn't like them, is, and I've seen other people point this out too, so it's not like it's my original idea or anything, but with just a few tweaks.
Was
like
McCarthy?
No.
I think it was Rebel Wilson.
I'm pretty sure it was Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, I think it was.
But with just a few tweaks, a lot of rom-coms, like classic rom-coms, could totally be horror movies. I mean, because a lot of the setups for them, like if you wrote that out as a setup, like, oh, we're going to set this up as a rom-com, I'm like, that sounds like the setup of a horror movie, though. Like, it's, I feel like they're really, really similar. But, yeah, like, shit that happens in rom-coms, and a lot of people point this out. You know the very classic, like, Christmas rom-com, like, Love Actually? That scene where dude from The Walking Dead like comes to that woman's door like with the signs like on the day she gets married or something like that. I'm like, dude, that is stalker behavior. Knock that shit off. But they're kind of like
romantic.
That's it.
And it was Rebel Wilson.
It was Rebel. Okay.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, Grampther said Rebel Wilson is skinny now. I thought she lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Isn't It Romantic is actually a good movie. A dude could watch that because it's fucking funny.
Yeah, I thought it was. All right. Really funny.
Yeah, it's goofing on rom-coms and female fantasy, but it's not. It's not goofing on it in a mean-spirited way. It's just,
well, that's what I liked about it. Is that it totally works as a rom-com, but it totally works as like a parody of a rom-com too.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought it was funny. Because like I said, I don't like rom-coms.
Yeah.
You know, they get on my nerves. But I don't even like a lot of comedy. Well, I don't know if I want to say that, but it's like I have a very particular weird sense of humor. So I don't know. Like a lot of comedies that I see, I don't think are all that funny. But I don't know. And a lot of my favorite movies are not comedies. Like, it's really, really hard for me to, like, see a comedy that I really, 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 really dig. So the fact that I thought that one was funny, that I thought was, like, good. But I think, like I said, I kind of feel like in the 80s, you had in rom-coms, you had in teen sex comedies, you had stuff like that. It still seemed like, and this one had that too, even though it kind of acknowledged it a little bit, but the way that it kind of, I just always thought it was funny, like the, this emphasis on virginity that was in like so many of the 80s movies, like it seemed really retrograde to me, like even in the 80s, I guess. But maybe it was something that was like on a lot of people. I mean, obviously a lot of people went to see these movies, so it must have resonated, but I just thought it was like such a strange.
Yeah, she's hot.
Holy shit, it looked like the same fucking woman.
Yeah, she got hot. Very hot.
That didn't even look like the same fucking woman.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Well, yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Jen Dubois said, first time I'm participating. I love you both. Aw.
Oh, thank you.
We love you too.
Thank you.
First time participating. Long time lurker, first time commenter, I guess. But there's so much emphasis on virginity, and this one... I don't know if it's almost like making fun of that a little bit. I kind of feel like it is, which maybe makes it a little bit ahead of its time. I don't know. But because the whole plot point is she needs to find a virgin, like, to make her... Because otherwise she'll get old. Like, she needs male. I don't remember if they say, like, how often she has to, like, drink male virgin blood. I'm assuming it's not that often because she's just, like, come out of a hypersleep or whatever the fuck. And she's going around looking and it's, like, this big deal. And, you know, she only has, like, 3 days before whatever and she has to do it. But, you know, and then the whole thing, too, is about Jim Carrey. And he has a girlfriend named Robin, but she won't have sex with him because...
He's friend-zoned.
He's, yeah, I mean, they're going out, but, well, the thing about it, like, I kind of get, like, I didn't like her character, to be honest. Like, I thought she was, like, a stick in the mud and kind of, like, a bitch and everything. Although he was a douche, gotta say. So they were kind of made for each other.
Crampton's asking if I know Voltaire. Yeah, I know Voltaire. I was friends with his ex-wife. Tanya.
Yeah, he's, I don't know him. I've met him once, like, at a club or whatever, but yeah, I watch his, yeah, he's the Martha Stewart of Gotham.
Yeah, met him once, but I was, like, good friends with his ex-wife.
I like his Gothic homemaking series on YouTube. It's super cute. Actually, he just posted one the other day, like, spooky shit around New York City, like, stores and bars and that kind of stuff. It was, like, pretty cool. But he always does... Because he has an apartment in New York City, and he does, like, various, like, decorations and stuff. And he does some Halloween hunting and stuff like that, too. Like, because he knows that other, that girl from Kansas City, Jade the Libra, whose thing I watch. Like, all the Halloween decorating and stuff. And whenever he's in Kansas City, like, they go Halloween shopping together because they're, like, friends. Because I think her husband, like, used to own a bar that he played at or something like that.
I went offline for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, we're still on, right?
It's still green.
Okay.
It's still green.
Yeah, weird.
But yeah, but I was gonna say, so his girlfriend, I get where girlfriend is coming from, okay? Because she's like, he wants to get laid, fine. They're at the drive-in or wherever. He drives an ice cream truck, and, you know, he's a virgin, she's a virgin. She's like, I don't really want to lose my virginity in an ice cream truck, which... I get that. I mean, just because it's real uncomfortable, one thing. But two, this, you don't really want that to be your first experience, like in an ice cream truck. But there is kind of like a funny scene where after she kind of like shoots him down, you know, not wanting to have sex in the ice cream truck, like he gets out. And then there's, like, they're at a drive-in theater, I think. And then there's, like, all these cars, and all the cars, like, start bouncing and stuff like that. Like, it's, like, rubbing it in that he can't get any. But I was like, at least spring for a hotel room. I mean, he's got an ice cream truck. He's got a job and stuff like that. Maybe she'd be more, like, you know, maybe she'd be more receptive. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like his whole thing about, well, my girlfriend won't have sex with me in the front seat of an ice cream truck, so I'm going to go, like, pick up some rando. Some rando from a bar somewhere. And, like, he does that, and then she, like, gets mad and breaks up with him, but then, like, she forgives him, like, almost immediately, which I thought was funny. I was like, you can have all kind of diseases now, buddy. Well, as it turned out, he did have a disease. He turned into a vampire. But, you know. But, actually, she, like, she had sex with him before the third bite, so he, I guess, turned back into a human, because I think that's how that works. Which I think, isn't that how Dracula worked?
What?
Now that I'm thinking about it, like, he had to bite you, like, so many times. Like, it wasn't just, like, a one-and-done type situation. Like, he came in. Yeah, because I think when he was...
I think in the old story.
Feeding off Lucy, he had to keep coming back. And then, like, then she eventually died, like, of a disease. And then she came back as a vampire. So, maybe it was that. But, I think it was, like, the same kind of thing. So, I think they were homaging that.
Although, I remember in that original movie... With Bela Lugosi, it never really mentions him feeding her any of his blood. Then later on, they're showing scenes in other movies where if a vampire bites his own wrist and makes you drink some of his blood, you'll become a vampire eventually.
Yeah.
Or like a thrall, like Renfield.
Depending on
how much they give you, I guess.
Yeah, because I was under the impression, now it's been a while since I've read Dracula. You know, it's probably,
I don't know if that's
like...
from the book.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought it was because I thought he gave Mina some of his blood. But see, the thing about it, though, is that I thought Dracula, because he didn't, like, give Lucy any of his blood, right? He just came in, like, over successive nights, however many nights it was. Three nights, I want to say. Four nights, however long it was.
I never read the book.
And
I saw the movie.
Okay, well, that's, like, you can't really judge from that because the movies are, like, yeah, take wild liberties.
Wild liberties.
Most of them are based on the stage play. Like, the early ones are mostly based on the stage
play. And I don't
know
what was mentioned in the stage play. And here's the thing. The vampire thing is a reboot. It's a ripoff, okay? The original is a Strogoi, and a Strogoi could do all kinds of shit, okay? And that was the original story. Vampire was kind of a ripoff of a fucking Strogoi. A Strogoi was a vampire. It could have sex with living women and have children with them. It could have sex with vampire women and have living children with them, or vampire children. It could have sex with a dead body, and it would give birth to an undead fucking vampire. There was all kinds of weird shit that they could do. They had families. And then they were sorcerers on top of that. They had all kinds of different abilities. So I'm pretty sure that the vampires came from Strogoi, and a lot of the stuff that Dracula is supposed to be doing in that book was stuff that Strogoi could do. But then a lot of shit that Strogoi could do was left out. So it kind of became a separate thing.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of it, based on my reading of the Strogoi.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like an initial... Yeah. But the thing about it, like, a lot of the vampire tropes are not necessarily from Bram Stoker, but because there had been, like, you know, Sheridan Le Fanu wrote Carmilla, which had some of the same stuff in it. But a lot of that came from folklore.
Yeah.
But it's just that they kind of, like, gathered it. I kind of feel like Bram Stoker sort of, like, codified, like, it all into one thing that was, like, really popular.
He's kind of making a new creature, in a way, out of these pieces. But the pieces, I think, are mostly coming from Strogoi stories.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Louis said he gave Mina his blood to control her and have a mental link with her. Yeah, I thought that he gave Mina his blood. Because I was going to say, though, that... because I think in the original book, he was kind of more portrayed as like a plague-type character because he didn't give Lucy his blood, but after Lucy died, she came back as a vampire. Like, he just, like, drained her over successive nights or whatever, and then she just kept popping out her coffin and, like, eating babies and whatnot. So you don't, like... So back in the old stories, like, you just, if you died from a vampire drinking your blood, then you would become a vampire whether they gave you their blood or not. Which, like I said, you can see the problem that arises there is that eventually everybody in the world would be vampires. And I think that somebody actually did the math on that, like how long it would take, not very long at all, for everybody to be vampires. So I think that's why later on they added the thing where you have to do a blood exchange, like, to make somebody a vampire, and it's more like a special thing, because if everybody that a vampire killed also turned into a vampire, then pretty soon you would be up to your armpits in vampires, and the vampires wouldn't have anybody else to snack on. So, you know, so there's that. But yeah. Slasher Fred said there's a scene in the movie where, during the final confrontation, where they try to do the old crucifix and the Countess laughs and says it only works in the movies. Yeah, but see, immediately after that, though, like, one of the other guys, like, holds out, like, a candle, like, on a stick or a torch or something like that. And she's like, fire, on the other hand. And I was like, well, if you guys are scared of fire, why do you have, like, fucking... Why do you have candles all over the fucking place? You know what I mean? It's the modern day. It's the 20th century. You have electricity. You don't really need...
Louis says, I don't think Strogoi were ever human. I don't know, because they can have children that look very human. And half human. Maybe they weren't human. I don't know. I have to go back and look. I don't think a Strogoi was ever human. But they could create human children. Or human-like children. A good movie. There's only one Strogoi movie that I know of, and that's fucking Blood Vessel. It's real good. You guys can watch it. It's just kind of newer.
Well, did I think Guillermo del Toro did one.
Did he?
Was that a movie or a series? I can't remember. I haven't seen it, but...
Okay, well, if the Strogoi is really where the vampire came from, maybe you could read Strogoi fucking folklore into saying that Dracula may have been the child of a Strogoi.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay. Because they could have... A Strogoi could have sex with a living woman and give birth to a child that looked like a human, and it was alive, it never died, but it was born a Strogoi, born a vampire, alive. It didn't have to die to become one. Although they could do that too. They could die and then come back. So maybe Dracula was that, a child of a Strogoi. Which would make him a Strogoi, I think. Or no, that would make him a vampire, I guess.
I
think the oldest reference to a fucking vampire is a Ypir, I think. And it probably just means vampire. And if I remember correctly, the one of the oldest mentions of vampire was in the fucking a letter that some ship captain was sending somewhere else to the company he worked for, and he was just calling lawyers a bunch of vampires that they were sucking him dry. So there was it, so the, and this was a long time ago, but that's the oldest, I think, physical evidence of that word. And it was talking about lawyers, calling them vampires. So, and I think that might have been 1500s. It was been around a long time.
Well, yeah, that's a very, very old concept.
Yeah.
I mean, anything like that, I kind of feel like because humans are humans and humans are afraid of death, then you're always going to... I don't think it's that weird that pretty much every culture has a concept like a vampire.
Something that's sucking like a, blood.
And well, and like a corpse that's coming back. Because originally, most vampire stories had to do with... Because originally it wasn't... You know, nowadays people like vampire. It's just like an undead thing that like drinks anybody. But, you know, it's just whatever. But, you know, back in the old days, it was just kind of like... It was your relative. You had to worry about... Yeah. Them just coming back and like attacking your family specifically, like it was your relative, and they would come back and get you. And I think even in that Mario Bava anthology movie, that had a story about that in there, where like they and a bunch of stories that I read when I was a kid, like old school vampires, they were always more worried about if your relative died, it's like we have to bury them and like fucking put a stake through their heart and cut their head off and shit like that, so they don't come back and get us specifically.
I just think it's hilarious that the oldest historical reference to vampire is a dude writing about fucking lawyers that are sucking him dry.
Zach says, I'd love to see a movie about a lawyer who's an actual vampire. Yeah, there's gotta be one. There's movies about everything, seriously. I was scrolling through fucking movies the other day and I saw a movie called Killer Donut. Okay? It's like there has to be a lawyer vampire. Somebody must have done that. Somebody. Slasher Fred said, in the original 1931 film, Dracula, it's Renfield who visits the Count, and in the novel, it's John Harker who visits Dracula. Yeah, that was one of the things that... Because in the original book, Renfield didn't go to Dracula's place first, did he? I thought that was like a later addition... Like a later edition from the play or from the movies.
So many different
Well, that's
ways.
What I'm saying. I can't remember because it's been so long since I read the novel. But I like the addition of like Renfield being the first, you know, solicitor or, you know, proper, like the guy that was going to set up the property and him going there and then Dracula fucking him up and then that happening and then them sending Harker as the replacement. But I think in the book, wasn't Renfield just like a random dude that he just like came across and it's like, hey, you're my minion now? Or I can't remember. Like I said,
can't keep any of that shit straight.
It's been such a long time. Well, and like I said, it's been told so many times and everybody changes it a little bit.
There's a video. There's a video that shows all the different Dracula movies and the differences between them and the similarities and the things that were left out. What was the name of that video?
It was James from Cinemassacre.
James from Cinemassacre.
And he did... Well, basically what he did... And I have a hard time believing that he watched every Dracula movie, but he's like, well, I tried to watch like all of the main ones, you know what I mean? And he actually picked out the top dozen that were kind of like the closest to the book, and then he did like, it was a long video, it's like an hour or something like that, and he breaks down like which ones are the most book accurate
and he lays them out side by side of what happens in all of them, what's left out from the book and which one is and
it's good. I've watched it a bunch of times.
And what's funny is that there isn't a single movie out there that is exactly like the book.
No,
you're gonna end up with three or four movies that are close. But then those four movies are very different from each other.
Yeah, the closest one was one that was made for the BBC in, I think it was in the 80s.
I think it was made for TV,
But yeah, it was made for BBC, that's TV. And he said that was the most book accurate. And like the Francis Ford Coppola one, he said weirdly, that one is very book accurate, but it also adds a bunch of stuff. He's like not so much taking it away, but... I think that might be the only one that has the character of Quincy Morris in it. Because I don't even remember if the BBC one has that. Hardly anybody puts Quincy Morris in there.
That's the Texan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, super funny. But I guess they're just like, well, it's too many characters. So they were trying to kind of, like... Most movies I see, they're like, leave him out entirely or, like, put some of his attributes, like, into another character, I guess. But yeah, there's that. Let's see. Slasher Fred said, if you guys ever watched that old classic show Murder, She Wrote, which starred the now late Angela Lansbury, there was an episode where a man is killed with a stake through the heart. I don't think, you know what? I feel like I saw that a couple times, like with when I was over at my grandma's house or something like that, and that just seems like a show that I probably really like, but I just never got into it. I just never got into it. Slasher Fred also said, one of these days you guys should watch and review Subspecies. Yeah, I've been wanting to do that for a while. I like that movie. That's a vampire movie.
Louis saw that video. Says it's a very good video.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why I find that kind of stuff so fascinating. I really like videos like talking about the differences between book and movie adaptations. That's why I did some for my Scare Salon channel. I need to do more though. Like, I was thinking about it today that I probably... Yeah, Louis said Francis Ford. Yeah, that's what I said. Francis Ford Coppola's also had Quincy Morris. I can't remember if the BBC one that was actually the most accurate had Quincy Morris or not, though. Because I haven't seen that one. But that was the one that he picked. He did it like I said, he watched all the Dracula movies, and he's like, well, some of the ones that were, like, really wildly different, like, he just discounted them. But he just picked, like, the top 12 that were the closest, and then he did it, like, on a point system. You know what I mean? Like, and he went by, like, scenes, characters, blah, blah, blah. And he laid out his whole, like, you know, the reasons why he chose certain things and stuff like that. And the BBC one was the top, and then I think the Coppola one was second. But he said that the Coppola one is book accurate in a lot of ways, but it adds a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, Zach said the Gary Oldman Dracula is probably one of my top 10 movies ever. I know, that's such a great movie. I really like... Well, I really like that he tried to make it like the book. I really like that he made it, like, with all these old school, like, practical effects, like with the, you know, marionette, like, but not marionettes, but like the shadow puppets, and like the way that it's all letters, like they did, like, that kind of like epistolary style and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was really cool. And you don't really see that all that much, you know what I mean? It's kind of like it was the same kind of thing, and we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein. Is that I really liked that they actually tried to make that closer to the book instead of, because most Frankenstein movies don't have any of the stuff like that happened in the Arctic or any of that, like the frame story, you know what I mean? So I kind of liked that they had that, so it was like the most book accurate, but there was a bunch of other things in there that were not book accurate, so, you know. Louis said, is the BBC version the one with Louis Jourdan? Yeah, I think it was that one, actually. I think it was that one, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, he made a great vampire. And then he was the villain in Swamp Thing. Isn't that funny? Slasher Fred said, Bram Stoker's Dracula also pays an homage to the original Nosferatu. Yeah, that's right, it does. And I kind of want to do Nosferatu one of these days, too. You know?
It's a slow, movie.
I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it. I like silent movies, though. You know what I mean?
It's just really slow. Well, you know, we can do it if you want to.
Yeah, one of these days.
I liked that Nosferatu. That was a trip. Fucking Kinski.
That was some weird ass shit.
Yeah, that dude's fucking creepy as shit.
I keep telling you, you should probably see Shadow of the Vampire.
Yeah.
Which is about, I mean, it's from the 2000s. Like, yeah. It's from 2000 or 2001. And it has Willem Dafoe in it. But it's about the making of the original Nosferatu, yeah. Except the guy, Max Schreck, that plays is an actual vampire.
Okay.
Like, that's... You told me it's not a comedy... necessarily, but it's really, really good. It's really good. Like, John Malkovich is in it, and, like, it's really good.
Yeah.
But it's about that whole experience, except Max Schreck is really a vampire.
Yeah. Klaus Kinski, Nosferatu. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but he does a great job as a fucking Nosferatu in it.
Well, he's always good as a creep.
And, and he is kind of closer to what was described in a lot of the folklore, that... A vampire is more kind of like a plague or a disease that showed up on you. It's not some sexy sex object motherfucker. He's nasty.
Yeah, that was a later.
Yeah, and that's closer to what, more like a rat, like a big human looking rat, which that's, a Strogoi looks like a big human rat too, you know. That's why, you know, see Blood Vessel. That's a good Strogoi movie. You'll see a lot, theoretically, with the fucking Strogoi reproductive fucking cycles and how they can do things, a Strogoi could make a thing like Dracula as a child. You know what I mean? It could have a child that was like that, which might explain where vampires came from. But a Strogoi was drank blood, but it wasn't a vampire. It was more, not really. It was more powerful than a vampire. if you ask me.
Jeffy Art said, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know that we tried out the pumpkin spice cocktails. They came out really amazing, but really strong. Once we perfect the recipe, I'll gladly share it with you guys. We should probably, I mean, because tomorrow's Halloween, I'm going to do like the whole costume and everything like that. Maybe we should like get some Halloween themed libations, because I feel like we don't have it. I mean, even if we just get some more pumpkin spice,
we'd have to go get it tonight. I guess we could do it tomorrow.
Yeah, we could go tomorrow. I might have time tomorrow to go get something. It won't take that long.
That's true.
I mean, if we're just going up to... Yeah, Louis said the Frank Langella version is also very good, even though it's all over the place. Yeah, I always had a soft spot in my heart for that one, because I think that might have been the first version of Dracula that I saw. I think I saw that one, because that came out in 1979 when I was, you know, 7 years old. So I think that was the first one I saw. I saw that one before Bela Lugosi, before Christopher Lee. I saw it before any of the other Draculas. Kessler Garcia says Jim Carrey dancing rocks. Yeah, it's like he wasn't, I mean, in the dance off scene, he wasn't, you really kind of get, he's pretty restrained in this. You don't get, because you know how I don't usually like Jim Carrey's like roll over this, like the mask and all that kind of stuff.
Like I don't, too much cocaine, man.
Yeah, it's just it's too much. It's too much. Now when he does more subdued roles, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, he's fucking great in that, because he's just, it's more like a serious role, you know what I mean, and he's really good in it. But in this one, he's pretty subdued in this one too. Like he does like a couple little goofy things, but nothing like over the top. But that dancing that he does, you can see that kind of like he's all like fucking rubbery and shit, so you can see a little bit of that. But he's not like, so
I never really could stand Jim Carrey.
That's what I mean. I can't. Yeah, it's not really my thing. Yeah. But like I said, his comedy isn't really my thing. But when he's serious, like in a serious role, like or Truman Show, like he was great in that too.
I didn't see it.
Like when he's does a serious role, he's actually really, really good. Like a lot of comedians.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's only one other comedian that came close to him and being obnoxious, and that was early Robin Williams. Was so fucking obnoxious, man. That was another cocaine head. But that dude was so fucking great in a serious roles. Fucking. Like 1 hour photo. That was a fucking masterpiece, man. Yeah.
He was in another one called Insomnia that you might
I've never
like,
seen it. Yeah.
That you might like. I saw it in the theater. It was, I remember it being really good, but I haven't seen it for a long time.
Yeah.
Louis said, "I think Nosferatu is a Dracula ripoff." Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They actually, they got sued. Actually, Nosferatu were lucky that it actually exists, because they ordered all the copies destroyed.
Yeah, and only one survived.
And only one survived, and that's you know that's what they've you know, copied from that master. Yeah, because it's the same story. They just changed all the names, trying to be slick.
To try to avoid copyright.
But, I mean, Bram Stoker was dead by then, but his widow was still alive.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's the same story. You just changed all the names.
Another fucking weird movie story is The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what the real original Phantom of the Opera movie was, because that movie came out during a time they were transitioning from silent into talkies. And there were like 4 or 5 different silent versions. And then when they went to the talkies, they changed shit up. And then there was like 7 or 8 different versions of the talkie version. There's footage missing or added or whatever. And all this shit got fucking lost over time. And a lot of them were destroyed. And I think there's 4 or 5 different versions of Phantom of the Opera. And none of them are, no 4 of them are exactly the same. And there's stuff missing.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where a guy comes out and fucking talks to the fucking audience. He comes out of a cave and says something to the audience for a few seconds, but there's no audio there, and it was some kind of a monologue, and they don't know what that guy was supposed to say. And that one's just a mess, the original. And then they colorized it, and when they did that, they fucked up a bunch of shit. Nobody really knows what Phantom of the Opera, the original Phantom of the Opera, was, the movie.
It's weird, because I kind of feel like, and this kind of makes me sad, but it's like a lot of movies that came out in the silent era that they know existed, because they still have like posters or like people talked about them like from back then, and they are lost forever. A lot of it, I kind of feel like, silver nitrate stock was probably like the main thing, which is very flammable, in case you didn't know. So, you know, a lot of them were lost in fires and things like that. But I think too, it was just kind of like they didn't really see, I guess because film was sort of like a new medium, they didn't really see it as an art form per se.
Yeah, it was disposable.
Like, widely.
Yeah, it was disposable. It wasn't valuable to them. It was just something you made up that year, that month to make some money, and then you replaced it with another one. They never were going to play it again. Weird when you think about it.
It is weird.
Then they started preserving them decades later, yeah. But a lot of the shit had deteriorated. But Phantom of the Opera was fucking just butchered over and over again, re-edited, and scenes reshot and put back in there. They don't know what it originally was. Got 4 or 5 different versions of it, and they're all different.
Yeah.
And they're all originals. They're all from that same company. They just kept working on it and showing it, working on it and editing it like a traveling stage act, really. It just happened to be on film. Weird.
I watched...
And it's famous.
Yeah.
They show famous clips of it, you know? Fucking... What was it? Was it Lon Chaney? The dude that played it? Yeah. A lot of famous scenes from it. But... They have those scenes, but they don't have the whole movie, or at least the original. Shit's missing, and other shit's been added.
Yeah, and Louis mentions London After Midnight, which is another movie that was lost. They have stills from it, which look great and scary, but... No Shoe says, is Ravenous a sort of vampire movie? No, Ravenous is actually a Wendigo movie. Sort of. It actually kind of goes with... it's like a cannibal, but it's more like a cannibal... But it's a Wendigo. It's a Wendigo. It's really good if you haven't seen it. But yeah, it's not a vampire movie. It's Wendigos. Or a Wendigo. Let's see, wait. Zach says, Insomnia, which I just mentioned before, is actually a remake of a Norwegian movie from the 90s starring Stellan Skarsgård, which is kind of itself a ripoff of Seven. Yeah, I remember it being kind of like Seven, actually.
I didn't know London After Midnight was a vampire movie. It was lost.
It's gone. They know it existed, like I said, because they have stills and they have like people talking about it and stuff.
It looks good.
But it looks cool, like from the stills, but
And nobody knows the screenplay or the.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, nothing exists from that.
I don't know. I'd have to look into it.
What the story?
That might
was.
Be an interesting show, actually, because I'm fascinated by like all because I love silent movies, and it's like I'm really fascinated by the ones that they don't, because there's a fuck ton that they know existed, but. You know, they're lost and they don't know. I mean, they might be copies around somewhere, but they haven't found them. I watched a 1910 version of Frankenstein that Thomas Edison made.
Slasher Fred said London After Midnight was remade in a 1935 film called Mark of the Vampire.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
And do they know that that was an accurate remake? Because then you could, if you see that, I mean, have you basically seen London After Midnight? Be nice to know.
Yeah.
I'll have to go look at the stills. I've never...
That's, like, one of the most famous, like, lost horror movies from that era. But...
They must have, in general, knew what the movie was in order to remake it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, like, I'm sure that, you know, people wrote about the movie or, you know, talked about the movie or remembered it or whatever.
And if somebody wrote it down, then
Yeah, Louis said, it was remade, but I hear it's nowhere near as good as the original. Mm. Zach says, people are still looking for a 5-hour cut of the silent movie, Greed. Was that Eric von Stroheim? That was supposedly the best movie ever made, directed by the guy who plays the butler in Sunset Boulevard. Mm. Yeah. And then we're talking about Robert Englund was a good Phantom of the Opera. That's right, he did do a version, didn't he? I don't remember if I saw it, though. I want to say that I saw it, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I just saw, like, stills from it. I think Dario Argento made a version, too, but I didn't love it. Asia was in it, of course. But I like her. I like her. But I just reviewed Dario's new movie the other day, Dark Glasses. It was aight. It was aight. But not that great, sadly. But I didn't expect it to be great, so I wasn't really all that disappointed.
Look at what that cat did.
Yeah.
God. She just tore that shit up.
Tearing up my Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, and she thinks it's funny and just runs away.
But like I said, that's... Yeah. I mean, that book is so old. I think I bought it at a thrift store for $1, like 25 years ago. Okay. But see, that's why I know that she does that. When she wants attention, she goes and like starts pulling...
Things out of shelves.
Things out of the shelves and like, you know, pulling the pages out of books and whatnot. So that's like where all like my shitty old...
Well, it gets boring being a cat.
What, should we, like, send her to school?
Yeah, it gets boring being a cat.
Give her, like some math books or some novels to read or something like that.
All right, so are we finished with the review on this?
I guess so. You seem kind of cranky and didn't want to talk about it.
I'm not cranky. I'm just saying. I didn't think it was a great movie. I didn't think it was a great movie. I wasn't really amused with it.
I hadn't seen it.
It was over the top.
It's very, very 80s.
I wasn't quite maybe in the mental frame of mind for that, and I'm just going, oh, shit, it's one of these.
Well, like I said, I was kind of like, I wasn't drunk, but I was kind of like a little bit, I was really sleepy, and I was like really, and I was a little bit buzzed, and I was just kind of like, well, it's like, this will be an easy one, because it's Halloween themed, it's like, I've seen it a bunch of times.
Real corny humor.
So, it's dated in a lot of ways, too. Like, in the same way that, like, you know, a lot of 80s comedies are very dated, you know what I mean? Like I said, there's a lot of gay jokes and stuff like that, which kind of wouldn't fly nowadays. But you know,
probably gay dudes wrote it.
I don't know who wrote it.
Yeah,
it's funny because the Wikipedia page. I kind of feel like it didn't. I don't think it did all that good a business when it came out. But it's one of those movies that kind of became a cult classic.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned My Best Friend is a Vampire. I remember really liking that one too. But I haven't seen that one in a long time either. Maybe I'll get around to that one as well. I saw that a bunch of times, but I didn't see it as many times as this. But the funny thing, one of the funny things about this was that I liked when Jim Carrey was like first starting to get turned into a vampire, and he goes to, you know, he's in the lunch line, like at school or whatever, and they're doing burgers, and you know, they give him one that's like not very rare, and he's just like, "Can I have one of those uncooked ones back there?" And I'm like, yeah, see, that's kind of what I was doing. I didn't, like, have the uncooked one, but I'd be like, just kind of go, ch-ch, okay, and then give it to me. Then it's good. Slasher Fred said, if you guys ever see the 1948 comedy classic, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, there's a vampire goof in the scene where Dracula bites Sandra. If you look closely, you can see his reflection. Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any of the Abbott and Costello, like, monster movies. Like, when they were doing, like, the Monster Mash, like, later stuff with Abbott Costello. Maybe I should probably watch those. I feel like that's a gap in my movie watching. Gerard Butler also played the Phantom of the Opera in the early 2000s, and he played Dracula. I feel like I saw his Phantom of the Opera. How the fuck did I see that? Maybe, like I said, maybe somebody loaned it to me. I feel like somebody probably loaned it to me. Zach said, whoever thought a writer as great as Kurt Vonnegut could come from a place as boring as Indiana? Well, that's probably why. I mean,
all that imagination.
Yeah, you had to, like, make up your
own. Boring
shit. You had to make up your own fun. I love Kurt Vonnegut. I really do. I think the Sirens of Titan is probably my favorite. But the one that she tore up, I don't think I have Sirens of Titan. The one she tore up is God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. But like I said, I've had that one for a million years. I bought it at a thrift store a long time ago. And, yeah. She just... You guys can't see it, but it's just like it's a total paper disaster over there. She was letting us know that she was really not happy that we turned the ceiling fan on. She was just very, very upset and yelling if you weren't here at the beginning. And we couldn't even, like, talk because she was yelling so much. But, yeah, she wanted to be on the show. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, I guess, because I'm kind of sleepy from... last night. I didn't drink all that much last night. It's just I didn't really get much sleep because, you know, when I got home, I was just kind of like, well, I got to take off these damn fingernails, and that took a really long time, and then it took me a really long time to get the contact lenses back out because I'm not used to wearing contact lenses, so it was really, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I can't leave these in my fucking eyes, and so it was like ages, and I was like, come on, and I couldn't get them out. And so it took forever. So I don't think I fell asleep until like 4:30. And then I woke up at like 8:30. So, you know, I'm a little bit sleepy, but that's all. All right. So tomorrow is Halloween. So I'm going to do my costume that I did last night. That was a big hit, by the way. You know, everybody thought it looked really awesome. Everybody wanted their picture taken with me and shit like that. So I'm not going to show any of the pictures yet, though, because I don't want to ruin the surprise. But yeah, I'm going to do the costume again tomorrow. And we'll probably talk about... We're going to talk about a haunting. I kind of feel like maybe we should do, like, a haunting sidetracks mashup. Because it's Halloween. We should do, like, a Halloween special. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should talk about... We were going to talk about that mummy episode. Which, maybe we'll do that. But we'll look at what we got and see if we can come up with something better. But if not, we'll do the mummy one, because that one's, like, super funny. Zach said, I want to go out for Halloween, but I got to go to bed early for work. Yeah, it kind of sucks, like, Halloween. The actual Halloween's on a Monday.
When's the show going to start tomorrow?
6.
You do realize that there are going to be people knocking
on the door. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I mean, I don't know. We'll figure something out, I guess.
Okay.
Unless you want to do it later.
It'd probably be best to do it either later or earlier.
Or earlier. I mean, I don't know. We'll think
probably best to do it earlier.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should.
Because then we get the show out of the way. Because they're going to be trick-or-treating, too.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on where you are on the planet. At different time zones.
That's what I'm saying.
But,
I don't know. We'll work something out, and then I'll announce it, like...
Because the show, as we're streaming in this time zone, will be pretty much in the thicket of when all those fucking kids are going to start knocking
right.
on the door.
Yeah, and then we'll have to, like,
all right, so that means I'm getting up and going down, every fucking 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the first time in this house. Well, we did that last year, and it was what? I think we did end the show, didn't we?
I don't remember. I don't know if we did a live stream on actual Halloween.
I don't think I had Halloween stuff. No, I did, because I already had Halloween stuff. We'll worry about it later.
Yeah, we'll worry about it later.
We're going to have to change the time, I think.
Yeah, we might have to change the time. We might do it earlier. Might be a better thing to do. But
that way you can go hand out some candy in your costume.
Yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, I'm going to go to all that effort. Right. Yeah, we went to downtown Sanford last night, like Saturday night, and that place was...
Fucking
insane. Packed. We thought we were going to have to come back home because we couldn't find a place to park.
Yeah.
Then we drove around and drove around and drove around and finally we found a place to park.
Yeah.
And then, like, we went to Mannequins and it's like, it was so fucking packed in there. Like, you could barely move.
Couldn't dance, hardly.
You couldn't dance because it's like, I mean, it was still packed, fun because, like, everybody, and we hung out, like, back on the patio most of the night because that wasn't quite as crowded. But,
man, the Latino dudes were fucking freaking out over my fucking costume, man. Screaming at me from across the street about Batman and fucking, you know, hey! And I'm fucking yelling back in Danny Trejo's voice.
It was fun, though. Ended up having a good time. It was like I said, it was kind of, my costume took a long time to do, so we didn't actually get down there until... What was it, 9:45 or something like that? And then, like, we got down there, and they were doing a street festival, like, early on in the night, so part of the street was, like, closed off in front of Mannequins. But then, like, we couldn't find a place to park. There was millions of people, like, walking around and shit like that. But eventually we found a place, and it's like... But, yeah, the club was fucking packed.
Yeah.
But it was just... I mean, still, like I said, you couldn't dance because there was no room. Yeah. But it was fun, like, seeing everybody's costumes and shit.
Yeah, everybody wanted to take pictures with Jim.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like I said, I was kind of... The costume came out better than I expected.
Yeah.
Like, because I always kind of think... I had it in my mind, like, how it was going to come out. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's going to look... But see, shit never works out, like, the way that I think it's going to. Like, and I'm always kind of like, ooh, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But then I do it, and I'm like, okay, that looks stupid. But this time, I was like, oh my God, it actually worked. That's amazing. And, you know... Zach says, when I'm at the gay bar, I'm always hanging out in the back because you can actually have a conversation out there. Sound of the system, that place can liquefy your organs. Yeah, that's the thing. And the music, you know, they have at Mannequins, they have, like, you know, they have the Paul Bain, he DJs inside, and then our friend DJ Spooky Puffs, Carrie, she DJs outside and out, like, out on the patio. And last night, I think the music was louder last night than usual because, man, I couldn't hear a fucking word anybody was saying. It's like when I was, like, talking to people, I had to, like, scream at them and, you know. But it was, like I said, it was still fun. We saw some good costumes. Although we saw a bunch of people who also didn't bother either, which I was kind of like, okay.
Hornet's so asking me when VA money comes in. VA money will come in tomorrow at midnight.
Or tonight at midnight.
No,
tomorrow at midnight.
Tomorrow at midnight. There's 31 days.
That's right, I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We'll discuss, like, what time we want to do the show tomorrow. Because I'm going to have to know, like, ahead of time because, you know, my costume needs several hours of preparation. Yeah. So I'm going to have to, like, start getting ready, like, whatever, early. So, but we'll let you guys know what we're going to talk about and what time it's going to be and shit like that.
I would do it early.
That's probably like a better idea because I was kind of thinking about that.
Then we do the Halloween thing and then we shut it down and we get and we come back at a decent hour kind of deal.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So yeah, hopefully you guys can join us whatever time we decide to do the shit tomorrow. Come and see my costume.
I'd probably do it around 3 or 4 probably.
That's kind of yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
4, and then it'll be over by 6, and then that's about the time that they're. I think it gets dark around 6:30.
Yeah, like something like
so
that.
So that's what I would do. I'd start the
show.
Well,
it's 7 o'clock right now. Is it dark yet?
Let's see.
I can't really see.
Let me see.
Yeah, I guess. Well, no, it's not completely dark.
No, it's not.
It's not completely dark.
Because they start when it's dark, so.
Yeah, maybe we should start at 4, like Eastern. Maybe that would be a better idea.
4 or 5. Yeah, 4 probably.
And then that way, you know, we don't have to worry about like rushing and stuff. Yeah. And then if like 1 or 2 people come, they'd be like little
big deal.
Kids and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Like I said, I'll make an announcement and have a good Halloween Eve and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.